New Zealand's Rima, it is just on 18 past 10. Coming up this weekend, the Sharpen the Business Edge conference happening in New Zealand, and one of the keynote speakers is, well, author of the book God at Work, in fact, well, also author of the book God at Work 2, in fact, former Pastor Rich Marshall. He joins us on the program. Rich, good morning.
Good morning, Andrew. Glad to be with you.
From a pastor, and I understand you were a pastor in San Jose for 30 years or so, transitioning to, I suppose, a full-time business person as well, but still seeing that as a ministry. Tell us about that journey, how that happened, Rich.
Well, that was it was a surprising insight after pastoring for 30 years and believing that my work on Sunday was ministry, mm-hmm. and discovering that when you study the Bible, what we do during the week is really ministry. And so I started preaching on that topic at our church, thought it'd take me 2 or 3 weeks, ended up taking me a year, because I kept discovering more and more and more in the Bible about ministry that's in the marketplace, mm-hmm. as opposed to ministry in the church. And when you understand it, the Bible says for pastors, their job is to equip saints for ministry.
Yeah.
Most pastors believe that Sunday morning is ministry. But it's really our task then to equip saints for ministry throughout the week. So that's how we got started years ago and have been carrying it since then.
So Sunday morning is really the warm-up act, really, isn't it, for the ministry that happens for the rest of the week?
Actually, it's the training time.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an equipping center. A church should be an equipping center to equip saints to go do what they do all week long. And it's not the highlight of the week. It's the training for the rest of the week. You're
now,
right. It's the warm-up act.
Yeah. That is backwards from the way a lot of people think. They think, okay, well, Sunday morning in church and if full-time Christian ministry, as in, you know, people that do full-time work of the church, that's ministry as we understand it. And, yeah, okay, if you're a businessman and a Christian, that's great as long as you tithe to the church. but you're saying,
yeah.
Actually, this is perhaps we've got this the wrong way around?
We do have it backwards. We trained people that way. Pastors did, because oftentimes a pastor was doing some kind of work. He felt it was secular work. God called him. He became a pastor. His testimony became, I used to work out in that world, and then God called me. And it sounds like if God called you, you have to be a pastor.
Yep.
I don't think that was the intention, but it's the message that came across. And so a business person or a housewife or a school teacher, an educator or a government worker, whoever it might be, an athlete would feel like that was second class in God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not. So we had to kind of start turning that around. And it's a slow turn. But it's happening. It's working. And it's working around the world right now.
So did God call you not to be a pastor, Rich?
Actually, I'm still a pastor. I just don't have a church to pastor anymore.
Yeah.
Pastor is taking care of people, training people, equipping people. So I'm still doing that. Also doing business work. And working mostly now, 95% of my time with business leaders, and that's where I'm pastoring. And the reason why I'm still a pastor, not only the call of God, but because so many business people have a pastor who doesn't understand them.
Yeah.
So they need a business person or someone like me or Dennis Clark, as we'll talk about in a few minutes, with mm-hmm. Business Edge here in New Zealand, who understands who they are and can be a pastor to them. So, no, he didn't call me not to be a pastor. He did call me, however, to reach out into the business world.
Interesting viewpoint there that being a pastor isn't just somebody who's at church. And I imagine that applies to all of the ministry gifts, that they're
right.
not just things that happen on a Sunday morning, that
the
ministry gifts, the spiritual gifts that we're given are for the marketplace, therefore our everyday 9-to-5 jobs.
Actually, yeah, the way I like to put that is, pastoring isn't what I do, it's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And because the doing part, oftentimes we'll get caught up in that and our whole identity gets wrapped up in that. And that's a whole soulish thing. It's coming out of your mind and it's got to come out of your heart. So it's more a spiritual thing. And it is what we do or who we are. And who I am is much more important than the tasks that I do.
There has been, I suppose, traditionally a divide in some people's minds between the sacred and the secular, that
yeah.
The sacred, the spiritual stuff is what you do within church and business and running a business and being successful, particularly being financially successful. That is a sacred thing and perhaps a little bit on the tainted side.
The sacred-secular divide is a huge issue. And we could trace that clear back to the Greek and Hebrew thinking that the Hebrew people, the Jews, always believed that all of life was spiritual,
mm-hmm.
which is what God says. I'm spirit. If you're going to worship me, spirit, you worship me in spirit and truth. So somewhere along the line, it got divided into the sacred and the secular, and work became secular.
Yeah.
I don't believe there's anything secular, personally. I believe everything is God-given. And I think all of it can be done to the glory of God, all of your work, everything. So that's the way we're approaching it. That's what we're teaching people, and they're finding real freedom in that.
My guest on the program today is Rich Marshall. He is in New Zealand as a keynote speaker at the Sharpen the Business Edge conference. We'll have more details about that conference very shortly. But back with more in just a moment. Firstly, let's take some music from Francesca Battistelli on Rima. This is Free to Be Me. Okay, that's part one.
Well, we've got three thumbs up back there.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I think that was because I mentioned the Business Edge conference. That is Francesca Battistelli on Rima and Free to Be Me. It is 28 minutes past 10 this morning, talking about business and ministry. What you do Monday to Friday as opposed to what happens Sunday morning, and perhaps the artificial divide that some people have put between their business world, their work world, and what they do as a Christian. My guest on the program is Rich Marshall. He is keynote speaker at the Sharpen the Business Edge conference happening in Hamilton this weekend, and is also author of, a couple of books, God at Work, and of course the follow-up, God at Work 2. Like the movies, Rich, you have the second one with the same name and you put the two at the end.
It wasn't the plan, but that's where it worked out. Sure.
And hey, people know it's a follow-up to the
right.
First work.
Yeah.
From that revelation that you had personally of saying actually ministry is more than just what happens Sunday morning, and being a pastor is more than just leading a congregation. Going from that personal and even at a church level to saying, actually, this is a message I need to communicate more broadly to the Christian community. Was that what inspired the books?
It did inspire the books. In fact, as I might have mentioned, I thought I had a 2 or 3 week series of messages, yep. And I got going on this and couldn't stop because I began to discover that throughout the Bible, great revivals, moves of God, were led by non-pastor types, non-priests, as the Old Testament would have called them, but by business leaders. And then I got to the New Testament, found out the same thing was true. And so God has been using business people throughout his book. Corinthians talks about when you become a Christian, stay in the state in which you were called.
Okay.
Now, to be called could be called to be a Christian, but in that case, they'd already become a Christian. So he said, stay where you were called. So you get saved, think, I got to leave my business to go be a pastor? No, stay where you are. That's where your impact is going to be. So as I began to study this in the Bible, I found there was a lot more intention from God to bring about his plan through what we would call today business people. I think he referred to them kind of like kings. He said in the Bible, he's called us all to be kings and priests.
Mm-hmm.
And so I use the word kings, not in a theological sense, but just kind of as a better definition than clergy and laity, which is a dividing line in the church, and it's not a good one.
In terms of Christian business people, though, you would hope that in a marketplace environment there would be a distinctive difference. You'd be able to spot these people are Christian business people. They're operating by Christian principles. The way in which they do business is perhaps different than those people who don't have faith. Do you find that's the case?
You know, what you said was exactly right. You should be able to see it by the way they do business.
Mm-hmm.
What oftentimes happens is somebody believes that I'm to use my Christianity at work, so they go about it wrong. They say, okay, I'm going to treat it like a church, and they start preaching at the people. That doesn't work. And besides that, they're not being paid to preach. Their employer doesn't want them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to become out of the heart. It's got to be the way you do business and the way you treat people, the way you treat customers, the way you treat the call of God here. So when you walk into your office and are unhappy and upset and kicking tires, that's not godly, but you walk in with a smile on your face, you're happy, that's the difference. So it's a very simple switch in the mind to say, when I go to work, it's a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
It changes the mindset because I found in America, at least, maybe not here in New Zealand, I found that in America, most people don't like their job.
Yeah.
And therefore, they walking in there with a bad attitude to begin with. So if we can change our mind and say, that's not just work, that's ministry, that's why God put me here, that's why I'm on the earth, changes my attitude when I walk in. I get a smile on my face. Thank you, Lord. Here I am. What are you going to do today? Maybe I don't see anything, but God's doing his work through me.
I mean, that's easier said than done, particularly, I mean, even within churches, it's difficult for people to get on with each other. But I suppose being gracious to perhaps a boss who isn't coming from a Christian perspective, who possibly is quite harsh on you, being gracious to your co-workers who perhaps aren't living a Christian lifestyle at all, but you've got to bite your tongue, that can be a tough one.
Yeah, well, I don't think he called it to be easy. But you're right, because, you know, the Bible even says we've got to be nice to those that curse us. Bless those that curse you. And he said to obey those who are even the bad masters over you. So you can say, I feel like a slave here. Well, the Lord told you how to act even in that situation.
Yeah.
We're not slaves. We're sons of God. Mm. But still there is a lifestyle that we have to live, and we have to live it at work. And it may be the hardest thing we do.
I mean, there are, of course, some wonderful examples in the Bible, even in slavery situations. I mean, Joseph and the way in which he was honored because of his hard work and his attitude, etc. And, I mean, hey, he had some challenges.
He had a lot of challenges. And, in fact, when he was in prison, it's interesting that the Lord's the people around him could still see that the Spirit of God was on him.
Mm-hmm.
So he was jailed, improperly jailed, falsely imprisoned, accused of something he hadn't done, but it was still obvious he was a man after God's heart.
Mm.
Joseph's a great example. I teach, I do a lot of training in companies now, not just Christian companies, but teaching ethics and integrity, and Joseph is my best example of that. Here's a man who walked in integrity in every situation.
Just wanted to pick you up on something you said just there. Are there Christian companies? Are there companies we're saying, okay, this is a Christian business model and you'd describe it as a Christian company, or are there Christians within companies? Is that just semantics, do you think?
No, there are companies that are Christian companies owned by Christians who want to run it in a godly manner. Well, one of the largest in the United States right now is a company I've done training for several times. The owner of that company is one of the richest men in America.
Mm-hmm.
And his founding principle is we're going to do business God's way.
Yeah.
Well, right now he's bumping up against some government mandates. And if he doesn't meet those mandates, which he won't, because in his opinion and mine also, it slams against his biblical principles.
Yep.
If he doesn't do it, he's going to be fined $1.5 million a day. But he's gone to court. He said, no, my company is founded on godly principles. Well, he's fighting that through the courts in the U.S. right now. It's a very interesting thing. So it's not called a Christian company, but it's run by Christian people who want to run it with Christian principles.
And in those circumstances, very much a test to not compromise, to not...
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge, because if he has to fall into this, he'll have to close his company.
Mm.
I think he'll win.
I imagine, though, that there are circumstances where there's a distinct economic advantage to operate under business principles. It's just good for business that there is a Christian marketplace, and you can market to those people, and well, treating people nice. Generally, there's a principle in the Bible, but also a philosophical principle that if you treat people nicely, they'll be nice to you. But there are also tough times to be a Christian in the marketplace.
There are tough times. You know, your comment there about running your business in order to focus on a Christian market is a good thing. I have a friend of mine. He's a member of Business Edge, one of the U.S. members of Business Edge here in New Zealand, who's done some research and found that actually, if you operate according to integrity, your profits will go up as opposed to down.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think, if I just squeeze this here, slide this here, I'll make more money. But his research, and he's a great researcher, shows that's not true.
Again, that seems counterintuitive.
It
because
does.
Often if we think of business people, and not so much thinking of employees at the moment, but top business people, people that own companies, and, well, honestly, in the United States,
sure,
perhaps more than anywhere else, have got a bad reputation for doing whatever it takes to maximize profit,
right,
and perhaps compromising on integrity. Business and ethics almost seem like contradiction of terms in some areas.
They do. And the companies who continue down that path are finding it's gonna bite them sooner or later.
Yeah.
One of the biggest companies in America, Enron, is no longer even exists. And their founding principles, we operate with ethics. But they didn't.
Yeah.
And it was a cancer eating inside of them. And that business was so big, it was supposedly untouchable. It no longer even exists. Mm. We got some other stories going right now let's say the owner has less than a good reputation.
And
it's not going to last.
I suppose that's... that provides an opportunity to say, well, now is the time to say, actually, Christian principles in business are good news. And now is an opportunity to communicate to, mm-hmm. to business people, even those who aren't coming from a Christian background.
Right.
This is stuff that works. This is positive things to build into your business.
So when I'm training a company that's not necessarily a Christian company, I say, you know what? Every business principle I taught you was a biblical principle before we knew it as a business principle. Because
mm-hmm.
God is the one that made the world this way. So if you want to take any business principle that's a good one right now, and you know people talk about teamwork and communication and conflict resolution, all of that is taught in the Bible.
Yeah.
So the biblical principles are what brought business principles, and business principles are founded upon biblical principles at the end of the day.
What sort of your response do you get from... well, I hesitate to use the word secular, but businesses that aren't coming from a Christian point of view.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
When I do training for companies like that, I was working for a large bank, one of the biggest in Canada,
mm-hmm.
and obviously not a Christian or even a spiritually minded bank at all. The training that we were giving them, everybody said, man, this is the best training we've ever had. Where did you get it?
Yeah.
Well, I found it all in the Bible. That's my background. That's where I come from. Well, we'd never thought of it that way, but that's what we need. That's what we want. That's what we need to carry on with.
Great response. This morning, my guest is Rich Marshall. He is a keynote speaker at the Sharpen the Business Edge conference that's happening in Hamilton this weekend. We'll have some details about that and how you can get involved with it. That's still to come. Also, I'll be back in a moment speaking with Rich about some of the principles that he wants to bring to that conference. Talking more with him in just a moment. Just on 17 to 11 now on... certainly something else to check out online. SharpenTheBusinessEdge.com. That's a wonderful ministry here in New Zealand. They're doing a conference this weekend in Hamilton, in fact, at the Atrium in Hamilton. And, my guest in the studio is Rich Marshall. He's a keynote speaker for the conference. Rich, is this your first time to New Zealand?
No. New Zealand has become one of my favorite places to
okay.
go.
Glad to hear it, yeah.
Oh, we love it here. Love the people, love the landscape. I mean, it's a great place to visit. I've been to two earlier Business Edge conferences, so this mm-hmm. is my third time here. And my favorite, not just because of the beautiful land and the people, but because the ministry of Business Edge is the most outstanding that I've seen. And I've been in 50 nations, mm-hmm. 100 cities in the U.S., looking at efforts to touch the Christian business person. And I've found nothing better than what we've got here in New Zealand with Business Edge.
So really making a difference, really connecting with the business community.
Making a difference and connecting and providing the challenge, the inspiration, and the motivation, as well as the prayer and understanding mm-hmm. for the business person. Because oftentimes the problems you face in your business world are a little bit different.
Yeah.
If you're at a church and they say, okay, we've got prayer requests today, most of them are, my aunt is sick, would you pray for her? But what's the business guy do that says, you know what, I'm facing a business deal next week,
yeah.
and if I don't get it, we're going to go under, or I've got one that's testing my integrity. Who will understand that? And that's where, at Business Edge, Dennis and Coralie Clark come in, and coming from a business background with a pastoral heart, they understand it. They know how to talk. They know how to prophesy. They know how to pray.
Mm.
They know how to give direction to these folks. And it's the structure they've set up is so outstanding that I call it the best I've seen.
Mm. And again, bringing all of those spiritual gifts to a business scenario and providing practical and spiritual help.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the conference happening this weekend, sharpenthebusinessedge.com. We'll put a link from our website to that one as well for people
Good.
Who want to follow
yeah.
that. But what is the message that you'll be bringing to that conference?
Well,
give us a bit of a taster of that.
So this year they're calling it, the theme is inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
And so my job is to speak about inheritance. I want to talk about our inheritance in God, what we are, and the fact that out of inheritance. You think about passing on to the next generation. Yeah. But the reality is God owns it all. And we've got to come back to the fact that my business isn't my own. It's really God's to begin with, and I'm a steward of that business. So we're going to talk a lot about stewardship, talk about, and then I also want to talk about the fact that even though you've had some wrong turns along the way, God is involved in your life still, and is going to make that right. And there's some amazing Bible stories about how it looked like it was going all downhill, and God turned around and set you on the right path, on the right track. So I need to talk to some people who are maybe struggling right now.
Yeah.
And get them back on the path. Some people who are being blessed, let them know, hey, it's not just you.
Yeah.
It's God who owns it all. And then why does he bless your business?
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of that is to bring impact to your nation. And so the reality is the world will listen to you when you're successful more than if you fail.
Yeah.
So if you can be successful in business, why? What is God trying to do with your life through that? So we'll cover thoughts like that on this weekend.
Sounds like it's going to be a great weekend. Now, is this specifically for business owners? Who are the sort of people you'd expect to be at the
conference? Well, you know, it's not just for business owners. It's for anybody who works. And I think that covers, you know, most
of
us.
That's all of us, yeah.
So because for both employees and owners, there's a place that we've got to plan. We've got to see that God put us there.
Yeah.
Because God didn't just anoint owners of businesses. He also gave anointing and power and strength to those who are employees. And you can be, in fact, the lowest paid employee and still have great impact. So it's for business people.
Hmm.
We'll have owners there. We want them. We want them because they impact those in their company. But we also want the guy, the gal that's just starting.
Mm-hmm.
And to see that there's a place for them in God's kingdom where they work.
And also, I suppose, getting the priorities right in the way in which we see things. And I mean, as we're saying at the beginning, seeing how what we do during the week, what we do Monday to Friday, that says more about who we are than what we do on a Sunday morning. And that's part of who God has called us to be.
You know, it's going to be hard for us to change our terminology. But the reality is, I don't go to church. I am the church.
Okay.
and so the fact is, we're having church here right now because God is here in our midst. We're talking about it. You know, you can be driving a taxi cab and that can become your pulpit.
Mm.
It doesn't matter who you are, where you are. God wants to use you for his ministry right there. In the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word that's sometimes translated worship, sometimes translated work, the same word.
Wow.
And I know that people oftentimes say, oh, God created me to worship. Yes, he did. But worship is more than singing and praying and dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Worship is work. And when I serve him through my work, that is worship to him. It brings honor to him. That's why he created us. And so I love to just think about worship and work as being the same thing.
Yeah, very good indeed. And hey, I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic conference this weekend. The Sharpen the Business Edge Conference getting underway in Hamilton this Saturday. It's at the Atrium. Full details available at the sharpenthebusinessedge.com website. Rich Marshall, it's been a pleasure to have you as a guest in the studio. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I had a great time.